Good morning. Last Wednesday was Earth Day. Steve, could you give me a thumbs up if you can hear me okay? Yeah, great, thanks. It was the 50th anniversary designated as a day to honor the Earth. So it's important to designate a day because it helps us remember that we should recall this every day. But we tend as humans to forget about that kind of thing. So when we set aside one day, one specific day, we have an opportunity to be reminded. In the past, there have been outdoor celebrations, marches in support of the Earth, and in particular, in support of science and scientists, the people who are addressing the needs of the Earth. This year, there's no such celebrations, no marches, so we need to find other ways to join together and honor the Earth and all beings. There are online activities, and these are good, but we can also simply take time to reflect, especially at this point in our lives and our species on the planet, and reflect on what it means to be a living member of the Earth community. So this Earth Day may have particular relevance for us. We have powerful reminders of interdependence, our vulnerability, our need to work together with all beings, and our need to see clearly. In Zen practice, a key part of our effort is to see clearly as we can in any given moment, what is happening, how to respond fully and in harmony, in reality, in the reality that we have. In a way, Zen practice is kind of scientific. In a sense, we have to attend to what is. We have to let go of imposing our fixed notions on it and allow the evidence of the moment to support our engagement in the world. This is not just like a cool, rational effort. Our hearts respond to what we see. But our emotions are balanced by clear-sightedness, stability, and our commitment to Buddha's teachings. When we do this in our current circumstance, we see that the virus that is with us now is part of the whole system of life. People speak of the virus as an enemy, as an entity we are at war with. But that is not the Soto Zen way. We and the virus are a part of the conditions of this world, this earth. The conditions that led to this moment, all the causes and conditions that led to this moment, are complex. And some of them are the result of human actions. Some are not. We all know that we cannot exist without the Earth, that there are more connections than we can imagine in this system between us and everything else. The question is, how often do we remember that? How often does it impact us that we are of the Earth, and so is everything else, including the virus? Our very shape is determined by the fact that the Earth holds our feet on the ground, that we pick things up when they fall with hands that work on this Earth. We see the beauty because we are made in such a way that we can see it. We have eyes and ears, noses and tongues. Our intimate, interwoven nature means that we are impacted by everything that exists. Every aspect. Perhaps we see this more clearly now. Perhaps we see more clearly that we cannot even say we depend on the Earth, as if we're somehow separate from it. We, as we are, cannot exist except as an aspect of the Earth system. Our teachings tell us that realizing this releases us from the bonds of delusion. Our question then is how we live this reality. Our question is how we live this reality in all its complexities. Coronavirus and all. Choosing but not demonizing. Being aware without overwhelm. Responsibility without burden. How do we take our place, know our vulnerability, the fact that we live and die in connection with all being? How do we realize the liberation that arises in that way of being? One way is to sit down, to feel the fact of our butt on the floor or on the chair, to stop the spinning thoughts that pull us away from our concrete reality and just be it. Another is to act with awareness in our everyday life. How are we grateful for what we eat, what we wear, what we breathe? And how is that gratitude expressed? How do we know in our bones this interconnection? And how do we build and support within ourselves and express in our actions with others an attitude of simple reverence, an orientation in which the world and everything in it, everything of it, is regarded with equal value and respect and care. Even a virus. That does not mean we should not work to eradicate it. We make choices. We choose human life over that of a virus. But we are clear that our choices do not indicate a sense of dominion over life, only the fact of our vulnerability and our decision to prioritize our existence. A world in which living interconnection is a central value is the world of many wise teachers, and it is certainly the world of Dogen's teachings. Dogen tells us that all beings, sentient and insentient, living and non-living, human, animal, plant, rocks, coffee cups, podiums, zafus, beds, are Buddha nature, including the coronavirus. What does that do to our thinking about the pandemic? How can this be true, we say? Dogen says that he regrets that most people, quote, do not realize that the universe is proclaiming the actual body of the Buddha. We do not realize that the universe is proclaiming the actual body of the Buddha. When we only perceive what is superficial, what is made up of our ideas and projections, we do not perceive Buddha's shape, form, and he says, the voice in the landscape. We cannot see and appreciate this truth when we fall into the habit of defining reality only in terms of our old habits, our old delusions. We must take a stance that unseats these old habits, particularly if we want to be good citizens of the world we live in. If we want this pandemic to teach us something about how to be active participants in a healthy and vibrant world. This means we need to examine our thoughtlessness, release our minds and hearts from the prisons of habitual delusion, and really listen to what reality and the circumstances of the pandemic has to teach us. And that requires patience and courage. Dogen says, Even rocks preach the Dharma, but they do it in rock voices. And we may not be able to understand. In fact, we don't understand rock voices. But that does not mean they do not exist. We do not understand all human languages, but they are all equally real. If we spend enough time listening with the aim to hear, we may begin to understand. Dogen tells us that the sutras, the words and expressions of the Buddha, are the entire universe, mountains and rivers and the great earth, plants and trees. They are self and others, taking meals and wearing clothes, confusion and dignity. Even confusion and dignity. There is nothing, nothing that is not included. And our practice is to live a life with that truth at the center. When we live in such a way, the entire world is our teacher. The entire world speaks to us about what is most true, how to live, who we are, what all beings are. This is the spirit of our way and our relationship to and with the world and to and with this pandemic. When we see in this way, we face our world as it is directly and find a way to live. This is not easy, for when we pay attention, we can feel despair, anxiety, the confusion that Dogen speaks of, disconnection, trouble, difficulty. But that is the world we live in, and it does no one any good to succumb to despair. I've mentioned before the work of Rebecca Solnit. It's a wonderful book called Hope in the Dark, Untold History's Wild Possibilities. I revisited it again recently and was struck once more by her clarity in describing how we can narrow our vision in a way that is both inaccurate and dispiriting, and how it erodes our ability to act in a way that is positive. How expanding our vision to include all aspects of our reality is both more accurate and more sustaining. I wonder sometimes if, as humans, we are constructed to focus on what is wrong. This may be good for survival in one way. It's a short-term perspective, however. It is not complete. And if it becomes our dominant perspective, it leads to an increase in corrosive fear, a defensive posture, passivity, or rage. It shrinks our world in a way that distorts our response. As Solnit points out, hope has gotten a bad name because it is confused with wishful thinking. It is not wishful thinking. It is a grounded, open, not knowing, an attitude that does not impose our fixed ideas onto reality. It is Dogen's fu'e. Solnit says, hope locates itself in the premise that we don't know what will happen, and that in the spaciousness of uncertainty is room to act. When you recognize uncertainty, you recognize that you may be able to influence outcomes. You alone, are you in concert with a few dozen or several million others? Hope is the embrace of the unknown and unknowable, an alternative to the certainty of both optimists and pessimists. Optimists think it will be fine without our involvement, and pessimists adopt the opposite position. Both excuse themselves from acting. She goes on to say, hope is the belief that what we do matters, even though how and when it may matter, who and what it may impact, are not things we can know beforehand. We may not, in fact, know them afterwards either, she says. But they matter all the same. And history is full of people whose influence was most powerful after they were gone. These are very wise words. Hope locates itself in not knowing. This is our posture. It's not cluelessness. It's wondering. It's opening. It's asking. It's listening. We don't know what will happen. And in that not knowing, there is a spaciousness, as she says, the spaciousness of uncertainty. Our world is an uncertain world. We may know that now more than ever. But in that uncertainty, there is room to act. She says, when you recognize uncertainty, you recognize that you may be able to influence outcomes. So the uncertainty can bring us anxiety, confusion, trouble. It will, in fact, as humans. But we can also influence the outcome. We can be transformed when we follow a way that engages us deeply and brings us to others. We alone can have an impact. We with our community can have an impact. We with millions of others can have an impact. What is that impact? What is that? We can't know it. We can be guided by the principles of the Dharma to bring a certain positive influence into the world. She says, hope is the embrace of the unknown. This is true. We can't know, so why not embrace it? Why not have a positive, engaging, curious mind about the unknown? This is not an optimist that says, well, everything will be okay without me. There is no without you. Nowhere is there a without you, nor is there a without the virus or anyone else. We don't think things will be fine without our involvement. There is no without our involvement. Nor are we pessimists that adopt the opposite posture. Everything's going to fall to pieces. Of course it will. It'll come back in a new way, but we don't know what that is. We are not excused from acting. Everything we do is connected with everything else, so our actions matter beyond our knowing. So we orient ourselves towards this hope, the belief that what we do matters, even though we may never know how. We never know who it matters to. We don't know beforehand. She says, we may not, in fact, know them afterwards either. But they matter all the same. They matter because the world cannot exist as it is without all of us. This is the spirit of Fu'e, Dogen's Fu'e, not knowing, a genuine sense of not knowing. And the life of the Bodhisattva, it is the spirit of the life of the Bodhisattva which asks us to engage without the tyranny of thinking we must be able to see everything or know the end game. To fully engage with reality, we must renounce our need to be the one who knows everything and knows the outcome. We must enter the mystery of this reality with courage and patience. In this way, according to Dogen's teachings, we find the joyful mind that is participation in reality. This joyful mind, according to Dogen, is one of the hallmarks of our practice. This is how, or one dimension of how, we respond now to this dynamic, this pandemic. We know we do not need to demonize any aspect of our world, in this case the virus. We do not need an enemy. We find our ground, our relationship to all life. We ask to be taught, to learn how to be a part of all being. We know our fragility and we know our strength. We know ourselves as a community. We recognize that we are making choices and we take responsibility for them. Tough as it is, we gain confidence in our ability and in our courage. This is the path of the Bodhisattva. This is how we recognize the earth, and this is how we recognize our lives together. Thank you.